What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Oh, my God. I was waiting for Pete.
I know you were, but he's not here. I like that you gave him a little pause.
Oh, Ghost Pete.
He's in Ireland.
He is.
Just not doing anything debaucherous, just his usual.
He's exploring the Irish comic book scene. He's going to come back with a bunch of Irish comics, so that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear his takes.
This is going to be great. You are listening to The Stack. This is a comic book podcast where we review stuff that has come out this Wednesday and occasionally an advance review.
Sometimes a light trip to the future, which is what one of our favorite characters is doing in one of the comics we're talking about today.
Yeah, we'll get to that last. Let's kick it off with a DC comic, Justice League Dark, number 11.
I teased it.
That was. People are going to now have to listen to the entire podcast. Usually they just listen to this intro and then turn it off.
Yeah, they're like, I got enough info. Yeah. No spoilers. I don't read comics. I don't want any of them spoiled.
I'm just a big fan of intros.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about Justice League Dark number 11. Now, big things have been going down on the magic side of the DC universe. There are the new Lords of Order, which is essentially Dr. Fate, created like five Dr. Fates that are destroying all the magic in order to control it. On the opposite end of the spectrum, there's these beings called the Other Kind who are eating all the magic in the universe. And while most of the Justice League Dark is off in this magical realm trying to save it, and spoiler, last issue, they lost, and are on the run, Wonder Woman and Zatanna are tracking down Mordru, who is an evil warlock, to see if they can get some information to him that can hopefully turn the tide. Yeah. So that's where we are going into this issue. How'd you feel about this one?
I love this comic. Like you said, it's sort of like the human centipede of comics. Because they're just trying to, like, people are making magic and other people are immediately trying to eat it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
This has been great. Like, the amount of detail in this book is amazing. This is also like sort of like the Game of Thrones season you wanted. They go into they take the time to get into the detail that you need.
What I like about this book, and I realize that with this issue in particular, so these new Lords of Order, they're essentially like a whole outfit split over five people.
Yeah.
And this issue, this is a big spoiler for the end. I'll give it a 1, 2, 3 count. 1, 2, 3, spoilers on. At the end of the issue, Wonder Woman and Zatanna find, what is it called, like a crystal of chaos or something?
The ruby, I believe.
Ruby of chaos, and they get these new gems and become the new Lords of Chaos to try to stop the Lords of Order. Usually with these sorts of plot developments, it always feels like, all right, we're trying to sell some more action figures or something like that. Doesn't feel that way at all here. It's great. I love all of these makeovers and new details that are being added to the universe. James Tynion the Fourth's imagination is going wild with this book.
It's a huge, there's so much to take in here.
Oh, I love it, though. I love it. Like, between this Justice League Odyssey and the main Justice League book, there's so much being added to the DC universe right now, and it's so much fun.
I love it.
It's great. Definitely pick this up if you haven't been. Next one to talk about from Marvel Comics, Runaways, number 21. Boy, this book is good. I don't even know exactly what to set up about it, except that all the Runaways are kind of hanging out together. And last issue, it looked like Victor committed suicide, right?
Yeah, he put his, he's an android. He put his android head into the bathtub.
Yes.
Like a toaster.
We kind of pick up there. We focus on a bunch of other characters before we eventually hook up to it. The character work on this book from writer Rainbow Rowell is so good.
So good.
It's very romantic.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
You know, that's what I like. But also still dealing with these heavier themes, like Molly, the like fun sprite character, is like straight up depressed. And she like refused to go to school last issue. And I know that doesn't sound like a big like cliffhanger to run across this issue. It had the emotional stakes that really really got me.
Yeah. It's good across the board. This is some of the best character work going on in the Marvel Universe. True to form with Runaways, there's not really any fighting or anything like that most of the time. It's really just following the lives of these characters, and it's great.
It reminds me, like, with the X-Men universe sort of in a little bit of a middle period, which we've been saying for perhaps years, this feels closer to sort of the angsty mutant X-Men of the past. If you're longing for that, I definitely pick up this run of Runaways from the top.
Yeah, it's like a middle season of Game of Thrones, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like we're going to reference everything in relation to Game of Thrones. But,
sure, but Pete's not here.
Yeah, and so we can, and also it's dominating our minds and the things we listen and speak to, and we're dorks.
There you go. Spoiler us on this comic book review podcast, or dorks. Next, what to talk about from Image Comics, Assassin Nation number 3. This is a book from Image. Two people, Kyle Starks and Erica Henderson.
Yeah.
I was blanking on whether it was Kyle Starks or Kyle Starks. Kyle Starks and Erica Henderson. It's about a bunch of assassins who are hired by one assassin who is retired, who's going to be assassinated, and they want to find out who is going to assassinate him. It's fun. It's silly. It's violent. It's over the top. I was just telling you, I just came from seeing John Wick 3 before this.
Yeah.
It feels very of a piece of that world where it's just ridiculous, over-the-top action and fun.
If you like how many times Alex just said the word assassins, you're going to love this book because it's like so many of those people and all they're doing is killing each other. This book is like, is it if every character in the Marvel Universe was Punisherized? Because it's like there's the funny assassins, there's the sort of devastating assassins, there's just the silent assassins.
Yeah, I would say if your favorite Game of Thrones episode was the Red Wedding, this is great because people are dying all the time.
Yeah, exactly. If you love going to the buffet and only like the yogurts, think that's what this is for assassination.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, you go to a buffet to have a lunch.
Always.
Yeah. Well, like, by my office, there's, like, the, you know, bodega buffet kind of thing. It's, like, the only place over there.
Sure.
And they have, like, the yogurts area, the salads area. Then, like, there's a lot of meats and then pastas.
Yeah, I don't trust those meats usually.
No, don't trust the meats. Remember when we used to work in an office together and we would go to that buffet and be like, here we go again.
Yeah. Rolling the dice. Is that where Pete would get the roast beef sandwich every time?
Yes. Oh, which man. Is an ongoing theme with Pete.
Yes.
See, we miss him because we're talking about him in his absence.
We are. He is actually, I know I was saying earlier he was checking out the Irish comic scene. That's not true. He's actually checking out the Irish roast beef scene.
Yeah. That dude's a beefhead. Anyway, this book is good and it is fun, especially if you like Punishers.
Yes. I'm really enjoying it a lot. Moving on to a Boom Studios book, Faithless number 2. Now, we really liked the first issue of this a lot. This is about a woman who meets another woman. There's some vague magic stuff going on in the world. It's not exactly clear how it works. They end up hooking up at the end, and then one of the ladies turns into a pile of maggots.
Yes. Which, as we talked about, been there before. This issue picks up there. The maggots are a slightly different demonic
representation. Yeah, now they're a bat person.
Yeah, which is cool. And
who hasn't been there? You go to sleep with a pile of maggots, wake up with a bat person.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, what did I do last night?
Classic. You'll cover that in sex ed for all you young folks out there. But this is written by Brian Azzarello, and it does feel like a different kind of take on the, like, I'm hooking up with a demon, or like I'm in a relationship with a demon.
Well, touching on the Justice League Dark stuff from earlier, there's a revelation that happens late in this issue that almost makes it feel like a pseudo sexy adult Zatanna book in a certain way.
Oh, interesting.
To me, I still really like this a lot. There's a lot of new details that are added to the world here. The art by Maria Lovett continues to be
very
gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. It almost strikes me as like fashion pinup-y or fashion drawing little bit.
That's cool.
The way that the character's drawn. Real good stuff. Definitely pick that
and
up.
And intriguing. I don't know where the story doesn't make any judgment about sort of the evil or demonic presence. It seems like it's sort of fine. And I'm down with that. I want to see where this goes just as a pure romance, not a moralized story.
I agree. Moving on to another DC comic book, Freedom Fighters number 6. Man, this book has been intense, like super crazy intense and dark.
One of the darkest books on the stands.
Yes.
And the amount of like throwing around Heil Hitler, like, a lot of books will have a Nazi in it and they'll do it like once. They're really covering the bases.
Yeah.
For that.
Or they won't even touch it at all. It'll be like, oh, that guy with the mustache, you know, who we don't like, the bad guy with Mr. Mustache over there. But this one is like straight up like, they're Nazis. They're saying Heil Hitler. Oh, this is Hitler.
Yeah. Here he is. Here's Hitler. Your favorite heroes that are bad guys now a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's really good also.
Well, what it gets to the heart of is what always challenges a hero is when they faced the ultimate evil, when they're knocked down as far as they can. In the first issue of this, Uncle Sam, the embodiment of freedom, was destroyed by the Nazis, and all of the freedom fighters were killed. Years later, they come back. They're definitely down. By the time we get to this issue, they've brought Uncle Sam back, but he's very weak. But Hitler Jr. has brought back Overman, who is the evil Superman who accidentally landed in Germany and was adopted by Hitler back in the day. There's an amazing riff on Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman at the beginning on the first page. It gets super dark. It gets even darker and more dangerous for the freedom fighters.
Yeah.
The series is great.
It is really great. Like, when you set up a premise, a lot of books will set up a premise and sort of like do it or glance it. This book drives a fucking Panzer tank right down it. And it's
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Real student of history.
I'm World War II with you there.
Okay, yeah. WW2W?
Sure. All right, there we go. Let's move on to talk about a Marvel comic book, War of the Realms, Strike Force, The Land of the Giants, number one. Very easily titled. Now, there have been a ridiculous number of War of the Realms books. What the Strike Force book is doing is filling in the gaps, essentially.
Yes.
We saw, I believe it was between issue 3 and issue 4, there were a bunch of heroes that went to rescue Thor from the land of the Frost Giants, where he was going nuts fighting them.
Jotunheim?
There you go. Yeah. They brought him back and healed him. And we get to see more of that mission through the lens of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this a lot more than I thought I would.
So you got your Captain America. You got your Luke Cage. You got your Iron Fist. You got your Spider-Man.
And Wolverine.
And Wolverine, of course. Let's not forget him. But in this book, Wolverine is just doing very boilerplate Wolverine things.
Yes.
He literally is like, don't need a weapon. Got my claws. Hey, bub. Like, there's no revelations about Wolverine are here within. They're flying some Pegasi.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, this issue was not essential to understanding the story at all.
No.
In fact, it was literally doing the same thing that we saw in the comic, expanded with a little more sort of emotional underpinning.
Right.
Which I liked, but I was like, oh, I thought there'd be a little bit of a surprise here.
Right. No, but it basically follows the same journey and just, like, to your point, fleshes out the panels. But there's some really solid jokes in the comic.
Yeah, there's some fun Spidey stuff here.
There's some fun Spidey stuff. Like you said, there's a little bit more emotion. If you're all in on War of the Realms and were wondering what went on, if that went too quickly, I think you can pick this up. But to your point, one of my... It's not even a... Well, no, it is a big problem. One of my big problems... I was going to try to be nice. I'm not going to be nice. There are too many comics coming out for War of the Realms. Like,
well, here's the thing, though. I agree with you, but I would much rather have read this story than the section in the main book about this mission.
Well,
the one in the mission was just sort of like, oh, let's just touch on these things. Like, it's like if a show did 6 episodes instead of 10 episodes.
Right.
This is
the
final season.
And went too quickly and everybody got mad.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. We're on the same page. It's crazy that we're on the same page. Because this book...
The Wire? Are you thinking of The Wire?
That's definitely what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It feels like this was the 10-episode season we deserved of this mission featuring Spider-Man and his friends.
Well, I do wonder how this happened, because I imagine Jason Aaron wrote the story and then they looked for specific bits that they could flesh out versus saying, Jason Aaron, don't worry about that. We got this other book to flesh it out. You know,
yeah.
I think it was they read through and they tried to figure out places where they could find
expand
more material. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. Like you said, not the most essential read, but it's a fun one.
It's a fun one.
Next up from Valiant Comics, Incursion number 4. We checked in on the first issue of this and now the last issue of this. You're reeling right now, Justin.
I'm reeling. This book has a lot of stuff happening in it that I don't quite understand.
Maybe if you had read issue 2 and 3, that would have helped.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
And also a lot of other comics.
Sure.
Too, because they keep saying things like the Carrion Blossom. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is, so I don't know why it's important.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a fucked up flower.
Yes. This is the Geomancer and the Eternal Warrior and I'm blanking on her name, Magic Lady from Valiant Universe.
Rey?
From Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, and Rey from Star Wars.
Yeah, she's magic.
Yeah. No. I'll remember it. Not Punk Mambo, but the other one. Dr. Mirage.
Yes.
Dr. Mirage are all teaming up because there's this alien incursion onto the Valiant universe. They end up driving them back. Yeah, I don't know. I think if you like Eternal Warrior and you like Geomancer, it's a big action-y issue.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The book is cool.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Don't pick up the last issue all on its own, is what we're saying. But I like these series, and I like that they're tight and concise. I mean, to the point of War of the Realms, there's 50 other books that you can read to give more illumination about it. Everything you need to know about Incursion really happened in Incursion, even though it was complicated, to your point.
Yeah.
All right, moving over to another Image Comics book, The Warning, number 7. Here's another one that was maybe hard to keep track of. We looked at the first issue and now the 7th issue of this.
Yeah.
There was a big, not a big twist, but kind of a twist at the end of the first issue where it turned out there was an alien invasion going on. Now we're knee-deep in this alien invasion.
Definitely happening.
It's very sparse, this book.
And I liked it. You know what it felt like? It felt like the new Alien movies in the way it's sort of just like, it feels like it has that bleak tone. There's the alien invasion part of it is reminiscent. And the design of the characters is sort of in that world. So that part I thought was cool.
Yeah, I think... Again, don't just jump in on this one. This is not a done-in-one issue by any means. It's also a very quick read. I'm not always a huge fan of that. I feel like if you're going to plunk down money for a comic book, you should get a little more value there. But the art is good. The story is weird and interesting.
Question for you on that tip. How much time spent reading are you saying is worth the money you spent for a comic?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Because I feel like that's the best way to measure
the
value, right? Is time... Not panels, number of panels.
Right, or pages or anything like that.
Or punches.
I think it is time, but it's also what you get out of the comic book, just emotionally, how you feel about it, because there can be comics that have an incredible two-page splash, and it just feels like, yes, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. That's all I needed out of that book.
Right.
But something like this, it took me maybe about 2 minutes to read, and the art is very simple. So though I liked the characters and I liked the figures, there was not a ton going on there to hold me in or make me flip back through it.
You wanted more.
I wanted more. To answer your question, I would say like at least 5 to 10 minutes.
Nice. Great.
What would you say?
I'd say full 10.
Yeah.
5 minutes?
I don't know, but that's standard, right?
That's standard? 5 minutes for a comic?
Yeah.
What are you, speed reading?
Yeah. Oh. We have a lot of comics to read.
That's true, but you really got to take your time.
I don't know. I skip every other word.
Yeah, that's smart. So you like all these comics took you like 28 minutes to read or something?
No, to read every comic in the stack, probably like an hour-ish, something like that.
Wow. All right.
There you go. Martian Manhunter number 5 from DC Comics. We've been loving the series. The art by Riley Rosmo is absolutely stunning. So good. This is another big, weird one from Steve Orlando that is redefining the history of Martian Manhunter, mixing his past and present together in a new mystery. There's a horrifying monster that is taunting him all issue long, and we're about to find out a little bit more about what actually happened to Mars and how his family died. What do you think about this issue in particular?
I like this a lot. I think Steve Orlando does a great job of taking all the facets of a sort of convoluted character, Martian Manhunter. The detective side, the like very powerful alien, the fear of fire, the family on Mars that's been established later, the different Martian races. And then adding on top of that how their powers work, how their telepathy works. Like, it's just so much, all that mixed together and still a great narrative happening sort of in two different places at once. It's a great, and the art on top of all that is stunning.
This is one that I would say is worth the money because
this is you have really got to put some time into this.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to delve into with the character, but also there's a lot going in the art, which for me as a reader holds me on the panels and holds me on the pages longer.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Last one to talk about. We teased
it at the top.
And now here it comes. Just like all great shows, we pay off what we set up at the beginning in the final at the end.
Exactly. No complaints, no unnecessary twists, and we always end with the back half of the final episode being basically an episode of Veep.
Junkheads Time Police, number one, out June 12th from Archie Comics. This is a super fun reboot of a old franchise. Jughead invents time travel, and as implied by the title, joins a time police force. Without getting too much into spoilers for this, I will say he doesn't join the time police in this issue, but you do get a lot of ridiculous Jughead shenanigans traveling through time with Archie. It's super fun. I'm into this.
For all of the Riverdale talk and like the modern comics Archie takes, which have this like darkness there or like afterlife with Archie, reading this was very refreshing, reminding me of like getting the Double Digest at the supermarket and being like, oh, right. There were so many comics in the Double Digest where it would be like a crazy thing happens. Like Archie meets an alien and you get 8 pages of that happening and then back to normal. This feels very much that, and it's a fun breath of fresh air.
I totally agree with you. I think Scenic Race really nails the characters. Archie is fun. Betty is fun. It's great to see classic Jughead as well, just being a big weirdo.
Yeah.
I miss that. Like, I miss that on Riverdale a little bit. Like, as much as I like Cole Sprouse and Moody Jughead.
Yeah, very Moody Jughead.
Seeing Jughead being like, I eat stuff and I ignore everybody and don't care about anything.
And have secrets where, like, he has a time machine. I remember one particular, like, comic in the Double Digest that really stuck with me. Archie was secretly a clown and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And would perform clown stuff for kids at the hospital. And I was like, what? What a crazy reveal.
I will also mention Derek Charm's art on this is great. We had him on our show a couple of weeks back. You can listen to the live show with him. Yeah. His art is so good. He hits the difference between the Double Digest and the more modern style on the main Archie comic really, really well, where it feels very timeless, but there's different angles on the characters. It doesn't feel quite as flat as the old bubblegum type strips or anything like that. It's really fun. Definitely highly recommend this comic.
Great to see Archie going on a date with his end game, Betty.
Oh boy.
That's good. Man. That's a good comic.
I mean, I'll tell you, I did really actually like, I loved seeing the love triangle again.
Me too. God. Have I been shouting into the void for so long?
But just in the comics. All right. That's all the time we have. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll double date you if you want us to.
Ooh, Pete, enjoy your Irish times.
What else do you want to plug?
Follow us on Twitter at comicbookclub. The other stuff we do.
Right. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
Pete, enjoy your Irish times.
Oh, that was the right time to do it. Good job.